You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. The waters off New England's coast are warming faster than 99.9% of the world's oceans. Now, a new study finds that summer-like conditions in the Gulf of Maine last 2 months longer now than they did just a few decades ago. Now, longer summers may sound appealing, especially right now as summer is wrapping up. But Hurricanes Harvey and Irma are driving home a tough lesson about one downside of warming ocean waters. There are also impacts on fisheries and ocean ecosystems. Joining me now to talk through all of this is Andrew Thomas. He's a professor at the University of Maine School of Marine Sciences and lead author of the new study. Andrew, welcome to Living Lab Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Pleased to be here.
All right. Warming faster than 99.9% of the world's ocean. You were part of the team that made that discovery and that announcement a few years ago. How surprising was that?
I think that was very surprising. We knew the Gulf of Maine was warming, and we know the whole global ocean is warming. But when we looked at the data of the geography of how this is happening and how much, what we found was that over about a 30-year period, the Gulf of Maine was warming about three times faster than the average global ocean. But in the last decade, it had warmed, as I said, faster than about 99% of the global ocean. So, yeah, I think it was quite surprising.
What does that actually mean in concrete terms, though? I mean, how many degrees are we talking about over what kind of time span?
Well, averaged over about 33 years, we're seeing a temperature change of about 0.3 degrees per decade. So, you know, you can think that over 30 years, the average temperature has gone up by about a degree. That puts it in the ballpark. In the last decade, things have gone up about three or four times faster than that. So very recently, we've had some very strong shifts in temperature. Over the 33-year period that we have good data, about 0.3 degrees per decade.
That doesn't actually sound like a huge amount. I mean, just going through our daily lives with air temperatures, we're used to swings of, you know, 10, 20 degrees in the course of a day. But shifts like that in water temperature can have some pretty big effects, right?
Absolutely. So, I mean, you're absolutely correct. And most marine creatures are the same. They're used to large temperature shifts. But what this is a long-term shift, an increase in temperature. And so what we are seeing associated with these, with this increase in temperature is, first of all, that's actually quite a lot of heat. Water is a very good carrier of heat. And so that's a lot of extra heat we're seeing on our continental shelf stored in our water column. And secondly, this has broad ecosystem impacts in that some species are, you know, much more tolerant of shifts in temperature than others, either themselves or their predators or their prey. And they respond to both of those things.
I'm talking with oceanographer Andrew Thomas about extreme warming in the Gulf of Maine. So the new study that you've just released shows that this warming effect in the Gulf of Maine and the waters off the northeast coast of the United States is not even, either in space or in time, that we're seeing more warming, especially during the summer and into the fall, and that that has actually expanded what you would consider to be summer conditions. So first of all, how do you describe or how do you define summer conditions for the Gulf of Maine?
Yeah, so what we did, Heather, is we have access to these time series of excellent satellite measurements of surface temperature that make measurements almost every day of what the surface temperature is across our region. And so we took 33 years of these data, and we were able to define, you know, what we would call individual months and a summer period. So the first thing we did was, instead of just looking at the long-term single trend, we divided it up by months and said, okay, in which month is the temperature going up fast or slow? And are these increases spread evenly over the season? And what we found was very surprising. Temperatures are actually, they're going up in the winter, but not by that much in the ocean. But in the summer, and especially the late summer, the temperature increases are really very rapid. And so we see this sort of seasonal bias in when most of the warming that we're experiencing is taking place. And so the second thing we saw was that if you look at what summer is, and if you define summer as just sort of the length of time that a particular location spends above a certain temperature, and you just say, okay, that's our warm period, you know, when does that warm period start and when does it end? So that would start be the start of summer, the end of summer, and then so that defines our length of summer. And when we looked at that over the 33 years, we saw that in the Gulf of Maine especially, the duration of summer, the length of summer, is getting longer over our 33-year period by on the order of about 2 days per year.
That's huge.
That was just astonishing. That was just astonishing to us.
I mean, that adds up to, as you said, 66 days, 2 months over the course of just over three decades. I mean, that's like doubling the length of summer in the Gulf of Maine.
That's right. So if you're out there with a thermometer and you're measuring temperature and you're saying, okay, this is what I'm going to call summer, that means summer in the ocean is about 2 months longer than it was back in the early 1980s.
It's really tempting to say, that's awesome, right? I mean, doubling summer and making the Gulf of Maine maybe a little bit more swimmable for those of us who don't live there all the time sounds great. But this has some potentially really negative impacts, actually, on the animals who are adapted to what has for thousands of years been normal conditions and a summer that isn't 2 months longer, right?
Sure, yes. I mean, Heather, the way this works is, you know, whenever you have change like this, there are going to be winners and there are going to be losers. And yes, if you're a tourist and you want to swim on the beaches, a longer, warmer summer sounds fine. But there are definitely marine species that are going to have trouble adapting to that kind of change because it's happening very rapidly. Species tend to adapt to their environment over many centuries, not just a few decades. And so, yes, there are going to be winners and there are going to be losers all through the trophic levels of the oceanic ecosystem responding to these kinds of environmental change.
Now, this isn't the entire Gulf of Maine that's responding in exactly the same way. I mean, just as, you know, we've already said, the whole global ocean isn't responding to warming the same way. We've got kind of a hot spot, so to speak, here off the northeast coast of the U.S. And then even within this smaller region that you were looking at, you found certain areas where this warming trend was stronger, and in particular, it's kind of the central inner core of the Gulf of Maine, July, August, September, where you kind of see those strongest warming trends. Do we have
That's
any
right.
idea what drives that? Why these very specific areas warm faster than others?
Well, we don't know all the answers to that, but we understand that ocean circulation and vertical mixing are some of the things that control what the temperature is at any particular location. And the Gulf of Maine and our shelf, you know, extending down towards Cape Cod and south of Cape Cod, is a very heterogeneous oceanographic region. You know, we have shallow banks, we have deeper basins, we have open continental shelf, we have small bays, and these all respond slightly differently. And so what we saw was that in the open Gulf of Maine, especially up in the eastern portion of the Gulf of Maine and in the deeper basins, these temperature changes were very profound. And then they were weaker over places where there's very strong tidal mixing. So, for example, over George's Bank and Nantucket Shoals, we saw that the response was not quite as strong. And then once we got south of Cape Cod, down in the Mid-Atlantic Bight region, the response was also not as strong. So as you go north into the Gulf of Maine and then even off the Scotian Shelf, the responses were much stronger than they were further south.
You said specifically some of these deeper areas are where you saw the strongest effects. I mean, you're looking right at the surface, but that seems kind of counterintuitive. You might think that shallow waters would, you know, warm up faster than deeper areas. So what's going on there?
Yeah, you're right, Heather. And they do on a seasonal basis. So in a short season, yes, shallow water is going to warm up very quickly, but it's also going to cool very quickly in the fall.
Hmm.
And so the deeper basins are better able to retain a long-term signature, and the water column is deeper, they retain more heat, and they stratify more strongly. In other words, the warm water floats on top more strongly than it does over some of the shallow areas. So when you start looking over multiple years and then decades, the deeper basins definitely behave slightly differently than the shallower areas.
And does the warming extend, do we know, beyond the surface layer down more deeply into the water column, down perhaps to the seafloor?
That's a very good question. And unfortunately, we don't have 33 years of that data, but we do have about 10 or 12 years of that kind of data from inside the Gulf of Maine, from some moorings that we have, some buoys with thermistor chains that go all the way to the bottom. And so for the last 10 years, we've been tracking this, and yes, this warming is reflected all the way to the bottom. So over the first sort of, say, 100 meters, it's really highly correlated on long time scales like this, a decade. But even down to 200 meters, we still see this warming trend.
This study, understanding how very, you know, relatively small areas are warming and changing in response to global trends in temperature and greenhouse gases, has some very important ramifications for things like fisheries and potentially, you know, has policy ramifications right here in New England. You published this in what is a relatively new open access journal called Elementa, which says that the objective of the journal is to accelerate scientific solutions to the challenges presented by human impacts on our planet. Are you making a statement, a political statement, by putting your research in this particular journal?
No, not really a political statement. I guess I'm trying to make a scientific statement. You know, we have the data to monitor these kinds of trends. Without this kind of long time series, we would not be able to make these statements. But very importantly, you know, scientists, policymakers, and the public need to be aware that these changes are taking place, and they're not the same everywhere. They're quite heterogeneous. And so, you know, if people will need to adapt to these changes either in their lifestyle or their business or whatever they're doing that connects them with the marine environment. And we're able to make these measurements. So my purpose here is to make people aware of, you know, where are these changes very profound, which areas may be slightly more resilient to climate change. These are the sorts of things that we can do in a scientific paper like this.
That's Andrew Thomas. He's a professor at the University of Maine School of Marine Sciences and lead author of a new study showing that summer conditions in the Gulf of Maine last 2 months longer now than they did just 33 years ago. Andrew, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. I'm pleased to join you.
Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.